Governor Walker signed more than 24 bills into law last week, and we'll talk about some of them during this edition of our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, December 16th. We'll also talk about a bill the governor did not sign last week, the one that would make it easier for schools to keep their Native American mascots and nicknames. Why didn't he sign this along with the others? We will ask our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, and we'll welcome your questions and views on issues in state politics from the past week at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on our Facebook page at The Joy Cardine Show or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
So do we know why the governor didn't sign this this Native American nicknames bill along with all the rest?
I can tell you that every time he's asked about it, he doesn't say much, at least in local media. He was asked about it again at one of his bill signings last week and, you know, really didn't have too much to say about it.
I'll certainly look at it because the legislature sent it to me, but I've had a higher priority than these other pieces of legislation.
And so, you know, it's very similar to what he said every time he's been asked about it, except when he was asked about it by national media during his book tour and seemed to express some concerns with the legislation. But he's never come out and said, I'm going to veto that or I like what they're doing there or anything along those lines.
Remind us how this changes state law.
So when Democrats were in control of state government, they passed a law that basically would make it very hard for schools with Native American mascot or any other race-based mascot to keep that mascot if one person in their district objected. The burden of proof was on the school districts to essentially show that it wasn't a race-based mascot. This bill that passed the Republican-controlled legislature makes it so that you actually need more people to bring a challenge like that and puts the burden of proof back on those making the challenge against the mascot. So it's tougher for, tougher for someone who dislikes a mascot to get it out of a school district, easier for a school district to keep the mascot if they want to.
Everybody was watching this particular bill because it was unclear whether the governor was going to sign it or not. And the December 12th, Thursday, was the clock starts ticking now.
Yeah.
Tell us what happened.
So the way that the legislature works is December 12th is the day on which all bills are sent to the governor's desk. So if he hasn't called for them previously, which he can at any time once a bill passes the legislature, he can call for it, he can act on it right away. But if he doesn't, any other bills are sent to his desk on that day, and this bill was, if you look at it on the, you look at its timeline, it was presented to the governor last week. And so then he has 6 days, not including Sunday, to act on it. And so, essentially 7 days, so that gives him until the 19th. And so he's got until not quite the end of this week, but Thursday of this week to decide whether he's going to sign or veto that.
And if he decides to do neither, it automatically becomes law?
Automatically becomes law because we don't have a pocket veto in Wisconsin. It's more like a pocket signature. If he could do nothing and just say that the will of the legislature is spoken. I don't really have strong feelings on that. Or he could act on it. You know, we'll find out this week.
And he's being lobbied by Native American groups to veto this.
Yeah, they don't like it. I mean, there are issues this year. For example, whether or not to approve a new casino license for one of the tribes. There are issues where there's not unanimity among the tribes, and they have strongly different opinions on how to proceed. This does not seem to be one of them. You know, tribal leadership is unified on this and have asked the governor for a veto.
And so it obviously had support of the Republican-controlled legislature in order to pass, but do we know why the Republicans in the state legislature wanted to make it harder to force schools to drop their Native American nicknames?
It's one of those touchy, emotional issues, and I think there were enough lawmakers that represented districts that have these kinds of nicknames that wanted to keep them, and they were able to get the support of their colleagues, basically, with the, you know, they drew up a bill that was able to get, the Republican votes. And this is one that, you know, I don't know how strongly the base has latched onto this, but you do see the Republican base interested in how the governor's going to proceed on this bill. I mean, it's one that they've gotten behind.
Well, we shall just see what happens with it. And the 19th is the deadline when he has to sign or veto.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. One bill that he did sign last week, before last Thursday, was this bill that would increase the math and science requirements for a student before the student could graduate from high school.
Yeah, this is a reasonably straightforward bill. I mean, right now you have to have 2 years of math and 2 years of science to graduate high school, or two math credits, two science credits. This raises that to three for each. And one of the ways that it does that, and while still giving school districts some flexibility, is it says that if you take a computer science course, it can count for a math credit. That's not the case right now, and the governor said at his bill signing last week that doesn't make a lot of sense.
In many ways, some of the computer science courses that are offered or could be offered in our high school environments are just as relevant, if not more so, than some of the other math and science courses they'd be taking for requirements to graduate.
And so that one doesn't take effect until the 2016-2017 school year. It's a bill that's been around for quite a while, actually. It was brought up off and on under the Doyle administration, and it's law now, but it'll take a while for it to take effect.
And so just to clarify, so instead of two each of math and science, mm-hmm. It's three.
Three each, and they didn't reduce the amount of English that someone has to take. They just increased the requirements for math and science. And, you know, gave people more options to meet those.
While we're on the subject of education, let's talk about this assembly committee that was formed to look into the Common Core standards and the report that it released last week.
Yeah, there was some thought that because the, the Tea Party and a big section of the Republican base really doesn't like Common Core at a national level, as well as in Wisconsin, that this committee might come through and say, let's scrap it, let's get rid of it. They didn't do that, and the Assembly Committee Chair Jeremy Thiesfeldt, Republican, was asked about that.
Well, I wouldn't say that we're saying we're going to stick with Common Core. I think that the committee was, we believe in recommending things that can be accomplished on a quick and reasonable time frame. And, you know, there are political realities that we have to deal with.
And so, you know, Common Core as a whole what would remain under their legislation. The Assembly Committee did take some action last week, including a vote that would put limits on the school use of fingerprints and retinal scans. So it's doesn't seem to be linked, actually, to any Common Core requirements. So, Common Core, for the most part, would remain intact.
Yeah, and one of the recommendations was that, I shouldn't say what recommendations, but a point that from that report said Wisconsin would be best served with its own standards, but it didn't say that it was going to develop its own standards.
Yeah, and when asked about this mm-hmm. committee's recommendations to the governor, really said he hadn't looked at it, and a pretty vague answer, actually a somewhat vague answer by Tony Evers too when he was asked about it too. So if you're looking for a clear direction, coming out of last week, or you know, major changes, it didn't happen.
Yeah, and the Senate has a similar committee, or was it just the Assembly that was?
Yeah, the Senate does have a similar committee. Likewise, they're not saying that we're gonna get rid of everything. They issued a report that said that their committee would consider whether the state should establish a board to review English, math, social studies, and science standards every 6 years.
Okay, well, we'll talk about some of the other bills that the governor signed into law last week, give you some of the major ones, and we'll talk about some Democrats who are proposing that we increase the state's minimum wage and other top state issues in the news. And we'll welcome your reaction and questions about all of these at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine talking with our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, here on the Ideas Network. This is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. We are talking about some of the things that happened and didn't happen at the state capitol last week. Among them, Governor Walker signing more than two dozen bills into law, but not the one that would make it harder to force schools to drop their Native American-based nicknames. What do you think Governor Walker should do about this this Native American nicknames bill? Should he sign it? Should he veto it? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And Sean, he also, Governor Walker, signed, as we mentioned, a couple dozen bills into law. We won't go over every one of them, but there was a landlord-tenant bill that would essentially give landlords a few more rights over tenants. Is that what it does?
Yeah, this is the latest foray into landlord-tenant law by the Republican legislature since they took power last legislative session. This would give landlords more powers in several ways, but a couple of them kind of stand out. When it comes to towing cars, right now a landlord has to call police first if someone's parked improperly in one of their spots. This would give them the power to just tow the car right away. Also, it gives landlords power to dispose of somebody's belongings, makes it easier for them to do that if someone is evicted. They wouldn't have as long of a process to do that. It would be more immediate.
Another bill that we've talked about on this program multiple times is this bill that would restrict access to around the mining site in northern Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. And this is definitely scaled back from what Republicans were talking about when they first floated the idea of restricting access to the mining site. But it still would restrict public access, even in these lands that are, open to public access right now. It would have a 600-foot barrier around mining roads and mining equipment, and it would give the Department of Natural Resources the power to close off more acreage if the DNR thought that public safety was at risk. So, in this situation, you do have a DNR that's staffed by career pros who are, spent their life dedicated to natural resources, but it is run by political appointees of the governor, who's a strong proponent of the mining bill. So you have a potential for, interesting calls there by the DNR, but again, scaled back from an earlier version of this bill, which would have closed down about 3,200 acres around this mining site. And this was all in response, Republicans said, to protesters last summer who essentially raided a mining site, shouted profanities at workers there. And ever since then, the mining company wanted tighter controls.
Another bill that he signed into law deals with technical education. What is this one about?
Yeah, he signed a couple dealing with technical education. One would provide incentive grants to school districts that promote career and technical education programs. Another awards scholarships to students that are enrolled at full-time at a technical college. So this is something that the governor's trying to emphasize, particularly as he tries to say, I've got this jobs agenda going forward. Technical education is one area he wants to highlight.
We already talked about the extra math and science credits needed for graduation, that bill that he signed into law. We did have a caller from Partyville who wanted to confirm if agriculture classes also count as a science class under the new law. Do you happen to know? It seems to me we talked about this on our Week in Review on Friday, and that is the case. But
there's something in there about technical education courses, and if you've taken if you've taken a couple of those and are scheduled to take more, that you could use that to apply toward science. So I don't know if that would apply I guess it would depend on how an ag course is characterized. Yeah. But there is language in the bill talking about technical education courses.
What is the historic preservation tax credit law?
There's a couple more here that the governor signed, and not the first that have been signed in recent sessions. Aimed at helping historic preservation in Wisconsin. So kind of adding to the list of, or the cobbled together list of tax credits in Wisconsin, there's always talk about the need to simplify the tax code, but, you know, another example of ways that lawmakers like to clutter it up when they feel that the cause is just.
And according to this new law, fresh new law, there will be a crossbow deer hunting season?
Yeah, and this is, you know, I'm not sure how to communicate it to people that aren't into hunting, but from having talked to hunters, especially bow hunters, pretty hot topic in the bow hunting community.
Unusually controversial to those, yeah.
And this is something that was fought, it was fought by traditional bow hunters. You know, longbow hunters were very wary of having a crossbow season. You might think that those two groups would see eye to eye, but not necessarily. And traditional bow hunters worried that they're going to lose out on some of their hunting opportunities potentially if you open this up to crossbows, which are easier to use and kind of more inviting to novice hunters. And, you know, proponents of the season have said, look, we need to bring more people into the fold when it comes to hunting. And so crossbow season is a way to do it. It's essentially a bow turned on its side. They won the day this time around.
Boy, we're running short on time and still a lot more bills here. I'm very interested in what the Brown Jug Bill and the Pedal Pub Bill are all about.
Yeah, the Brown Jug Bill is something that lets establishments that sell alcohol gives them the ability to report underage drinkers to the police and then take those underage drinkers to court. So not only might that drinker have to pay a fine for, being in a pub drinking illegally underage, they might have to pay the business owner $1,000 if they're found guilty. So it's an incentive for taverns to report these underage drinkers.
In Pedal Pub?
Just use your imagination there.
So this is the bicycle thing that people pedal around and have it's a bar on wheels?
Right. Everybody's sitting around on a bar and you pedal and you drink.
Makes it legal?
unless a municipality says you can't do it, it makes it legal. So I know this is something that kind of originated, that they wanted to do up around Lambeau Field. There was talk of doing this and it seems like we're seeing them around Madison.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
So you can drink now.
All right, because we're almost out of time, there were some other bills, but maybe we'll get to those another time. Let's talk very briefly about Campaign 2014, some developments there.
Okay, not quite the state capitol, but we do have somebody that announced last week. Kelly Westland announced she's running against Sean Duffy in the 7th Congressional District. Kelly Westland, a Democrat, an Ashland city council member, Sean Duffy. Yeah, I don't know how vulnerable he is. Probably, I think the thinking is more vulnerable following the government shutdown. But that may be the most competitive congressional race we have in Wisconsin this year. It has been in recent years.
And the governor it was asked again if he's going to run for governor.
Yeah, we've been talking about what's Mary Burke up to. She's running for governor for Democrats. And what's Kathleen Vinehout up to? She might run and create a primary for Democrats. But there have been those saying, what's the governor up to? I mean, we've seen a lot in Washington and New York and the national media circuit talking about, what he envisions for the country. Some people speculating that he's thinking about 2016 more than he is 2014. And so actually WPR's Chuck Kornbach asked him about this last Friday at a stop in Milwaukee.
I'll make an announcement this coming spring, but if we talked about casinos before, I'm not a betting man, but if I was a betting man, I would not bet against me running. I don't see any way I don't run for governor again. I love the job. I had to work pretty hard to get it two times now in the past 2.5 years, and so I'm prepared to do that. I've just the reason, largest reason why we're waiting for an announcement is I want to get through the legislative cycle, wait till we get the business done there, and then once we're free of those, and we can focus on that. But to me, I don't want to start a campaign before we've got time to finish that work off.
All right, so he's running.
Sounds like it, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, in our final minute, Sean, the state Senate's going to be in session this week?
Yeah, the Medicaid changes that the state assembly approved week before last, the Senate's going to take them up this week, and every indication is that they will pass the state Senate. These are the changes that said that if you're a parent or a caretaker and you're on Badger Care, you were scheduled to lose that Badger Care come January 1st. The state of Wisconsin is going to actually extend that through the end of March. On the other hand, though, and that's for about 72,000 people, the same action is going to say for 83,000 people, childless adults who are at or below the poverty level, who are expecting to get coverage on January 1, they're going to have to wait another 3 months. Mm-hmm. Those two groups are affected very differently here.
Thanks very much, Sean.
All right, thanks.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. We'll check news, then we'll be back.